WNST, Towson, Baltimore, Baltimore Positive. This one's going to be good. I'm already smiling. I'm drinking a beer, non-sponsored local beer from a Pizza John's, and I'm actually having some pizza on the air. I just want to let everybody know. But this, if I were doing it appropriately, I would be having the White Castle Blues up in the great state of New Jersey. I'm wearing my Smithereens, especially for you, shirt. I didn't get an original. This is an original. I should have bought it at Hammer Jack's when I met these guys back in the 80s. I don't know where this is going, Jim Babjack, but it's great to see you. It feels like you're al fresco. It feels like you're having a cigar and a beer, and I'm having pizza and beer. And this is wildly appropriate on the eve of you coming back to our great state and rocking Ramset down in Annapolis. It's a pleasure, dude. How are you, man? How are you? It's so good to see you, man.
I'm doing great. You know, life has its ups and downs, and you got to keep going forward. You know, so I'm out here relaxing before I come down to your area, Baltimore and Annapolis. And, you know, I've been working on some new songs with Robin Wilson and Marshall Crenshaw and the guys in the band. And hopefully we'll have a new album out sometime next year. We'll see about that.
Are we breaking news? I don't know this. You know, I need to catch up. I mean, we're Facebook friends, but I just need to, like, know more. I'm going to ask all sorts of really weirdly awkward stuff tonight because you know what a fanboy I am for the Smithereens, you know.
Well, I got another one for you. We, back in 93, we lost our record deal with Capitol. And in the interim, we started recording. We figured we'll just record. We'll keep recording and put out an album on our own if we need to. So we recorded two albums worth of material, and half of it became Date with Smithereens in 94.
More for My Mind, the great songs on that album, yeah.
Yeah, and we realized that we have another album's worth of material there, so we're going to release that as a lost album from 1993, so that's going to be a cool thing.
Is that Pat vocals?
Oh, yeah.
Completely done tracks.
Yeah.
Anything you ever worked out on the road that, you know, because you guys B-sided songs. I mean, you did Beatles cover. You did all, you did Who covers. You did stuff, but I wouldn't know of any lost material, you know, that just appeared at the end somehow at Pat's living room tour or something, you know?
No, these are studio recordings. We just, I don't know. Life gets in the way. I mean, I have like two other albums of solo material in the can that I should release. But as you know, things get in the way and then you forget about it. And then somebody reminds you, hey, how come you never released that? It's really good. So we're getting around to all that now.
Well, it's great to visit with you. I feel like I've grown up with you. I feel like we're friends amongst rock stars. And when people, you know, ask me about the 80s and how young I was, I mean, I have pictures of me 17 years old on those stairs at Hammer Jack's with you writing reviews at the Evening Sun. And it's like Almost Famous. I tell people, if you saw Almost Famous, people would compare me to Cameron Crowe back then. And I didn't really know who he was other than Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And, you know, the guy that married, you know, the one of the Hart girls, you know, the Wilson sisters. And now that I look back at the pictures, dude, it was crazy riding around on a tour bus with you crazy guys and, you know, West Coastin' and Pat and your music and just the clubs, how much fun it was. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you go see the Girl Like You video, just shot in a cat club or whatever, like back, it's such a period of our lives. I've grown my hair long for you, Jimmy.
I see that. I can't grow mine anymore. It's going. Hey, I do remember you showing up in odd places. I remember playing California and you were there.
The belly up?
Yeah, you were wearing a vintage Astros shirt, I think.
Oh,
is that what it was?
Maybe. Padres. It was Padres because I was in San Diego.
That's it.
It was Roger Craig's jersey, number 38. Yeah, old mustard. I have a million pictures with that, but I was wearing that night, was I?
You were. I remember that. I don't remember what you were wearing. I don't know why I thought it was the Astros, but I knew it was a vintage shirt. And then did you ever see us with the Ramones back in the day?
I'm going to make an admission here. as I hold up my Cheers Hamilton Island. I use this every show, every day, my Cheers. It's my coaster for my Peach of John's beer. I never saw the Ramones. And I know you guys loved them. And my first friend in your band was Mike, and your jersey and the relationship. And I mean, all of the bands of your era that played in that way, the Ramones were sort of the gold standard. And I saw you with Man, Los Lobos. I saw you with a million bands, but I never saw you with the Ramones. I don't know why.
Well, it was probably you were probably 16 at the time. But hey, we played together at, what was it, Bohagers or something? We did an acoustic set. Was that the place?
Me and you?
Didn't we?
I sang with you a few times. So I sang with you
at,
it was at Leadbetter's, but you were playing the Bohagers show. It was at Leadbetter's. We sang all night. Pat showed up. You know who was there that night that I love from Not a Surf?
Oh, Ira.
Ira Elliott, your tech, went on and Not a Surf is a longtime band. Ira was there, whom I loved, and he was one of your roadies, wasn't he?
He was our drum tech, and I remember when he was offered the gig, he was in the back of the tour bus trying to learn their songs. So, yeah, good times.
Well, connecting people. The night I sang with you, we were eating crabs on the deck at Bohagers. You do have this right. And by the way, the guy that played the drums that night showed up in my life 6 months ago. And there's no evidence of that night other than two girls I know that were there, but the place was packed. But the guy who played the drums in our band that night, me, you, and Mike were eating crabs. Pat was doing whatever Pat was doing, and Dennis was off doing whatever Dennis was doing. And the band that was playing that night, it was a Thursday college night, packed at Bohagers. The band came and wanted you guys to play with them. And you guys, what do you know? I remember you saying, like, what do you know? Stones, who? What do you want to do? That's pretty much you, right?
Yeah. Well, I back then I used to play with everybody. You know, we'd go back to the hotel, go to a bar somewhere, any city USA, and we'd show up and I'd be up on stage. I've seen clips here and there, and I'm like, I don't even remember it. But well, you got to think about this, though. We've done over 3,000 shows.
Wow.
And so, I do remember most of them.
Jimmy, I would say this. We got up and we did three songs. We did Blood and Roses, Behind a Wall of Sleep, and A Girl Like You. And Mike got up, strapped his bass on. I had seen you guys 100 times. And you kept saying, I know he knows the words, because you and I had played acoustically and I'd sung some songs with you and lived some rock star fantasy stuff. And you're like, he can sing. And Mike's like, he turned to me and he tuned up the bass, which wasn't his bass. He's on stage. I'm in the middle. And he says, you better know the words. And I did. And it was fun. And it was one of the great thrills of my life. I must like totally admit to you on my deathbed, top five all time awesome thing that you made happen for me that night.
Yeah, they were good times. Good times.
Well, listen, I would say this about you, because I want to talk about traveling and the road and where you are. I've seen you in so many places, literally all over the country, not really much out of the country, but in a lot of cities, probably 20 different cities and 15 different states all over the place. You always had friends. Like when you say you strummed the guitar and you did stuff, Pat knew people in the Pat space. Jimmy and new people and Dennis and Mike was sports and baseball and what, you know, yeah. Jack McDowell and whatever. You guys always, it wasn't an entourage, but it was really a friend. I mean, with me, the warmth the last time before COVID, I was up in New York. I showed up at a club and next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's always the way. You always had friends and you've kept it together. And I think you've needed those people through life, right? I mean, you're glad you had those friends.
Yeah, and funny enough too. In my high school, I see the kids I went to school with. Well, now they're grown in like every state, and it's just really weird to connect with people that you went to school with 50 years ago. I'm dating myself now. I'm going to be 64 next month.
Wow.
So you're 10 years younger.
Yeah, I'll be. I am 53 in 3 hours and 17 minutes. So
happy birthday! I'll drink to that.
Spending it with you. You know, maybe we should sing. Jim Madjack is our guest. The Smithereens. I'm wearing my Especially Few. By the way, my chiropractor, my back's all effed up, right? So I'm wearing the shirt, and you can tell me. It says Buzz Meg on the back, right?
Let me see. I got to put on my glasses.
It's got a Buzzed Meg logo on it, I think, right?
Oh, no, it says Betty Babjack Memorial.
It says Buzz Meg somewhere on there.
Oh, right, right.
That's your other project, right?
Yeah, I decided to bring the band back for that show and do a couple of songs from that album. Yeah.
Well, he was adjusting me. I put this on. We were supposed to get together. We didn't get together. I was wearing this shirt to my chiropractor, Dr. Steve Elliott, Elliott Chiropractic. He was on the show. By the way, I need to plug the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And I got to write that down because you and I have to talk about crab cakes because I have a crab cake story that's one of the great ones that involves you. So I got to keep my own notes here. So Steve Elliott's adjusting me today. And the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And by the way, we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill, the OTB. So he's adjusting me. He looks down and we have a mutual friend named Meg. And he said, oh, is that for our friend Meg, Hockey Meg? Is that Buzzed Meg? And I'm like, no, man, it's a Smithereens. It's Jimmy's side project, man, you know? So I'm wearing the shirt and, you know, I even got a little shout out on that. But this was for your wife and – I mean, I knew your wife. I've been in your home. It's different, I think, when you're out on tour and seeing those friendships and your wives and friends interact through three decades of music and touring and all the things that entails. But I mean, you've had a hell of a journey, man. Like, and I can't wait to hear what new music and new. I mean, I always liked the writing that you had 30 years ago, but you have to have a different perspective now, right?
I don't know. I just write what I feel and, always have. I mean, the well's not dry yet. That's for sure. And the passion's still there. So that's why we're continuing. You'll see on stage, you know, it's just 100%. It's a joy to me. Dennis and I, we knew each other since high school, since 1971. And we were kids. We were 13. And when I'm on stage and I look at him play, it's like the most joyous thing I can imagine, being up there with one of my best friends playing music that people love. You know, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
I love it, too. And having had it taken away, you know, a year and a half ago, it'd be good to get back to it. The Smithereens are local. The Saturday night, they're down in Annapolis. They play two shows. Dude, how many years have you been doing this, right? Like, you're talking about having it taken away and COVID taking things away. And obviously we could talk about Pat and you'll make me cry and I'll pull up old pictures and we'll do all that. But you've been playing there two shows January, usually forever and ever and ever and ever. Right. I mean, it's you become part of the furniture in the places you play where people want to come out and they want, and it's the power of music's incredible. It really is.
Yeah. Well, for 41 years, we've been doing this since we started, the COVID time was rough. There's never been a month that went by that we didn't play for those 41 years, except for the COVID. But even
dude,
then,
I saw you in Robin's backyard or something, right? Was that backyard?
I managed to do a few things live on the internet.
See, I'm watching. See, I was actually watching that day.
Yeah. No, that was Robin's idea. I think we did it two or three times. And Marshall showed up for one, Marshall Crenshaw, and Graham maybe showed up to play on bass. And Dennis showed up one time, too. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, you got so much, like, tread on the tire for, you know, what all of that represents and the music. And then we lose Pat. Tell me how Robin and Marshall. Now, so I'll give you full disclosure. My wife was battling. And then we lost your wife and then Pat, and then we lost Pat. The night you guys did the event in Jersey, I watched online. I literally watched in my kitchen for 4 hours as BB Bell, you had people I didn't even know you knew. Little Steven, who I think is coming on a show next week, to talk about his book. I didn't even know you knew these people, and they're on stage, and I'm like, I really effed this up. I should have gotten up to the Red Bank this, and you know what I mean? But I was watching online, and I liked that I just went to bed when it was over, but I rocked with you guys all night, and I saw all of these people sitting in, pouring out their soul with music, and your music and a tribute to Pat. It was just, it was unbelievable. And I, you know, you judge every singer and every song and every rework and all of that. And it was very obvious that Marshall and Robin, like, really just, they loved the material. They took the material, especially Robin, I think, was like a really big fan of the Smithereens and sort of the Joy Boy way I was in the '80s, just loved your band. Right.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Robin worked at a record store in Tempe, Arizona, back in 1988. He was a clerk. This is before the Gin Blossoms. And we went through on our Green Thoughts tour in 88 and at his store. So we met him back then. And he came to our show. He came to all of our shows in Phoenix back then with his bandmates. And then they formed the Gin Blossoms. But when it came time for this show that you're talking about, Count Basie Theater, became a benefit for, it was a scholarship fund for Pat, in Pat's name, for a music scholarship. So the gig, we were supposed to do that gig in January. Pat was still alive, and we didn't cancel the gig, and we thought we'd make it into this scholarship thing. So we invited everybody we knew to sing. And Robin was just there. He's like, whatever you want me to sing, I know all the words to everything. So it was a great night. And then after the show, Robin said, you know, if you guys want to do any more shows, I'll be there, you know. And
just volunteered out of like love of the band. See, and then, that's amazing, you know. And I loved his band. You probably loved his band, right? I mean, it's right in line with what you listen to.
Yeah, I listen to everything. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, people were not texting me, but Facebook messaging me and email and whatnot, saying, I sound just like Pat, you know, can I audition? And I'm like, no, that's just not right for us. We don't want somebody to imitate Pat's voice. We want somebody to channel the songs, you know, in their own way and how they liked it and if they were true fans. You know, and Marshall, he was with us from the beginning. We, 1980, we opened up for him in Jersey at the Fast Lane. So we've known him for a long time. And he actually played on our first album, Especially For You. But he was credited as Jerome. I think it was for contractual reasons. But he says now that, you know, it's because Pat didn't want to pay him. But anyway, he plays keyboards on Strangers When We Meet, and he plays a baritone guitar on White Castle Blues.
You know, so I was getting geared up and before we did this, and I had some pizza in the oven, reheating some pizza, Johns. By the way, Jim Babjack here from the Smithereens. Wise conversation with one of my rock and roll friends from many, many, many years ago. And I just hit my iTunes, and I saw there's 48 Smithereen song, 6 albums, you know, whatever. And I just randomly hit it to see what would pop up. Now and then popped up. And then the second one, right as my pizza was coming out of the oven, was White Castle Blues. And, you know, I had never really had a White Castle till I went to Nashville. And I was much later. I knew all the words to your song before I ever ate one. And I can't say that I, you know, completely enjoyed it. I know, you know, it's a acquired taste that you have very much. And they've sort of adopted you, right? Like the night of Betty's tribute, like I see you do things with them. And you wrote this sort of probably beer-drenched song in Jersey one night, right? About loving a cheeseburger, right? Like literally a little bit of a Jimmy Buffett thing, but just the Jersey style for you, right?
Well, before I knew about Jimmy Buffett, I wrote that in the 70s with my friend, Bob Banta. No, it was just about our friend Duke and, you know, a high school friend. And just, you know, one night we couldn't get to a White Castle and we had the blues because we couldn't get to a White Castle. So, you know, I just wrote this silly song. And on our first album, we had some extra time, and Don Dixon, our producer at the time, said at the end of the session, "Hey, Jimmy, why don't you record that hamburger song that Dennis was talking about?" And I go, "Okay." And we knocked it off in one take. And Crenshaw was there. Marshall Crenshaw was there. So it was after we had just done Strangers When We Meet. So that's how that all happened. It was just
It was like on the album, but not the tape or the CD. It was a bonus track, right?
It was a CD because albums were outselling CDs at the time, and they wanted to put our record label wanted to put a bonus track on the CD. And so you're talking about White Castle. They're a family-owned company, and they donated $10,000 to Betty's scholarship fund, which is amazing. And then they just recently donated another $5,000 because I give out these scholarships every year to Rutgers students that have lost a parent.
Wow. Okay.
Awesome. So I haven't been able to do any more shows to generate more money for the fund, and White Castle was just, they were right there,
and it's a wonderful, and most wonderful importantly, they did deliver cheeseburgers to the event at midnight, and we ate them, and they were delicious.
You know what? They're good.
We don't have them here. So, like I only see them in various places and other places, and you got to kind of be in the mood. I've eaten them in Nashville late night, and I ate them with you, and they were delicious. So, and we were singing and having fun, and beer was flowing, and it felt like 1986 at the Bayou all over again, right?
Oh, the Bayou. Oh, my God. I miss that place. What is that, a Gap now or something?
It's underneath a bridge in Georgetown. I have no idea, man. So Hammerjacks, right? Like if you look on this side over here, Hammerjacks was right here under the literally right here under the freeway. And
I remember.
They're resurrecting Hammerjacks on the other side of the stadium. And it's been 40 years, right, to your point. And
wow.
Yeah, right. I mean, music – when I hear Strangers When We Meet, it's 1986 all over again. And listen, I'm on YouTube and I see stuff and stuff comes to me, and probably my Google calendar saw Jim and Bab Jack and put together. Somehow the Suzanne Vega thing wound up in front of me the one time that she appeared for In a Lonely Place with Pat toward the end of Pat's life. The internet gives in that way, right? Like I haven't been in a room with you in a while. Now it has been since that Count Basie night. We were together in New York at the club off of Times Square, and Marshall sang that night. Sharon Panazzo from the Cubs was there.
You know her.
Very well. Yeah. By the way, I had one of her guests on last week, Andy Billman, who did Believe Land, the Cleveland sports film. Fantastic. You're doing a thing on Ray Chapman. So you can find that at Baltimore Positive. So, I guess through all of these years, the music, the minute I hit play, I'm in that place where I was underneath this bridge under Hammerjacks, and you guys were just releasing Green Thoughts or 11, and videos were coming out, and you guys were coming around and playing bigger gigs and hopefully making more dough and doing better for yourselves. I mean, there was sort of an arc to your career that brought a lot of people in for life. I'm here with you tonight having a beer, and it's out of love for your music, really.
Yeah. I mean, holy crap. Yeah. yeah. I hate to think about all the time that's gone by, but I like to live in the moment.
No, well, it should be. The moment of the band right now and having a different creative mind and a guy from Tempe who is a fan who you're now in with, and Marshall and a different voice, you're a really unique band. Are there other bands that roll around with two singers, East Coast and West Coast, and have some sort of fun brotherhood in that way?
I haven't really thought about it. We're just doing our thing,
It's unique, right?
I suppose, because I can't imagine Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers going on without Tom Petty. But there you have Cheap Trick going on without Bunny Carlos. They have Rick Nielsen's son playing drums, and, Charlie Watts just passed, and they're using... another guy, I forget his name right now, playing drums. You just got to keep moving, because music is like it's good for the soul and it's therapy. And what you're talking about is like memories when you hear a song, you know?
Only a memory.
Well, it's not only a memory. It's but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Well, I mean, that's why people come. Listen, you mentioned the Stones. I hurt my back seeing the Stones out in the Midwest, and I chased the Eagles one more time. And I know you had to learn Hotel California to impress your wife at the beginning too. So I thought about that
story.
Yeah,
you remember that story?
You want to tell that story? It's one of my favorites. I love that story.
Well, when I first started dating Betty.
This Betty right here. I want to point her out, right? This Betty right here.
Yeah, my late wife. But yeah, we were teenagers, and I was bragging back then about how I could play anything, and she said, "Well, why don't you play Hotel California?" So I had to learn it for her. And then after that, she kind of shut up.
All right. Oh yeah, exactly. Because you were a made guy at that point. Jimmy Babjack from the Smithereens is here. They're down in Annapolis. Please go see them. Support the band. Do we say buy the CD? And I still have the hat with the broken heart that Mike gave me back in 91, I think at the Cleveland Agora show with Miss Jane Scott of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You know, it's funny. I these stories of the road, it comes from drinking all night that I hear all of these and singing. I want to share something with you because this you're a part of this. And so many friendships. Like one of my dearest friends in the world is Julio Bermejo out in San Francisco. Mike delivered that relationship. I was backstage with you at the Towson Center. You guys headlined. My friend Richard Abrahams was trying to become a concert promoter. And he had a press conference with you guys, did it all up. And after the show, I shouted out a request for Beauty and Sadness. Pat played it. It pissed you off. You're like, it wasn't the right song. So, but we're sitting around eating crab cakes after the gig. And Richard was one of my, like, we camped out for concert tickets, for Who tickets, and, you know, in the Eminence Front era, right? So the crab cake, I remember the look on your face. You're like, this is the best crab cake I've ever had. And I'm like, and I'm eating it, and I'm like, dude, I'm from Dundalk. I'm here. I had no crab cake like this, you know? And it was from Angelina's restaurant, no longer there, no longer with us, right? And I started going there, and it became my favorite crab cake. Well, this year at the end of COVID, trying to do Baltimore Positive, I started a Maryland crab cake tour, and I still tell everyone to this day that the Angelina's crab cake for me was a gold standard, and it was that night with the Smithereens at the Towson Center. So you love crab cakes. You love crabs. I've eaten crabs with you many times. Like in Jersey, you can't get crabs, right? Like is there anywhere you can go?
Well, yeah, we do, but they're much smaller than what you get down in Baltimore, Maryland.
I gotta get you down here for some crabs, man.
I think I might come a day early.
Hey, dude.
I think they're still in season for you guys, right?
Very much so. Running big. I'll take you over to Costas. I'll blow your mind. Dude, I love you and I appreciate you. Give me a little primer on the band. And is it Marshall or Robin on Saturday night? I hadn't checked.
Saturday is Robin. He's free. Marshall actually had a gig somewhere else. So Robin's going to join us. He's flying in for that and then flying right out. He's just like popping in that one day, and then we're not even rehearsing. I think the sound check is going to be a couple of songs and then that'll be it.
No crabs for him.
No.
Hey man, give my best to the rest of the guys in the band. I appreciate you taking a little time tonight, having a cigar and a beer and a cheer. And I'm glad we didn't cry or have anything weird, but I just want you to know that all these years you made a difference in my life, and I appreciate you, man. So thanks for taking some time tonight, hanging out, telling some old stories. And when's the new music coming out, and how do we access the band when this music comes out to give you a few bucks instead of ripping it off on the internet?
It'll be out someday, whenever that is, on, you know, Spotify, all that stuff, and digital downloads and vinyl, because I'm a big fan of vinyl. I never gave up on vinyl. I still have all my vinyl records, and I still listen to vinyl, especially when I'm cooking, or like on a Sunday, Saturday morning, I'll put on a record. So, it'll be on, well, for people that still want CDs and vinyl, it'll be there and it'll be online.
Jimmy, good to visit with you. Thank you very much for the time. Bring the rock and roll, bring the energy, bring back my youth on Saturday, right? With the songs, all right?
It brings back my youth too.
Well, I've only seen you play with Marshall, and I've seen you play with Robin on the internet. So this will be like my chance to come in and participate. We'll be in full voice down in Annapolis, Maryland on Saturday night as the Smithereens are incendiary ripping up the stage down there, Ram said. Jimmy, take care. Jim Badjack from the Smithereens, a beer with him, with a guy like him and a band like them. Go check out the catalog and turn it up, man. Just, or as you would say, you said something about the turntable. This is a Springsteen song. Drop the needle and pray is what I'd say. I'm Nestor. You're listening to WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking rock and roll memories and Baltimore positive.